Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above for today and the week ahead. It's going to be an interesting week, likely one filled with some interesting energies. Hold on one second here. There we go. So let's break down what is going to be happening ahead. And I'm so out of sorts this morning. It's just, I'm 25 different things going through my mind. Yikes. I feel like I've been out of sorts all day, all weekend. And all of that started, of course, Friday morning, when I had lost power in the middle of my broadcast. And then did not have power again until 3:30, almost 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The things that we live through right now, right? And I have no idea why. I mean, it was windy for sure, but I just didn't see any damage around. But well, anyway, somehow something happened. I had no power. Kind of an interesting thing for a projection for us to look at, right? Is why does the power go out? What made us empowered or what caused us to lose our power? Anyway, so we have quite the busy week ahead. I want to start though back at something on Friday that I was trying to share with all of you, or I was getting ready to share with all of you before the power went out. And that is about Mercury's move yesterday into the sign of Scorpio. And Scorpio being a sign of deep investigation and passions and intensity, Mercury being a planet of communication and the mind, you blend them together, and we have a time period here through October 27th where Mercury is in a kind of a weird place, a place he actually doesn't, you know, not like. But it is a place that takes us into the dark, takes us into the unconscious realm, takes us into the dig up the dirt realm. And I think it's already interesting to see how that's playing out in my own family, as there are four Scorpio grandchildren out there who tend to stir the pot a bit, and watching that from afar as I see things like that happening in my own family. Mercury is like the investigator, though. It likes to turn up the heat on info. It is an information planet from both the internet and from what we share as ideas. And he's slowing down at this moment, making way for his retrograde period of time, which actually doesn't begin until October 13th, but we're in that shadow period of time. So the things that are cropping up now are the ones that we will be dealing with throughout the retrograde and even in the retro shade, the aftermath of the retrograde. So being watchful, what's happening, what kinds of things are you hearing about? And likely there is going to be a lot of dark secrets, secretive motivations, hidden truths that are perhaps coming up, things that we don't see on the surface that suddenly get thrust up into the world. I think it will be interesting that a confirmation hearing for a new Supreme Court judge perhaps happens during this period of time. And certainly the selection process is likely going to have some interesting things come up, and scandals perhaps, and lots of talk about, you know, the seedier sides of things. I mean, that's what happens during these things, these confirmation hearings. We're looking for the underbelly, right? We've been looking at the dark for so long, and here we have Mercury coming into a sign that's going to cause us to do our due diligence, digging up what's under the surface, what's in our secret motivations. You know, what's prompting us to do what we do as individuals, but we're also going to see that playing out in the wider world. So that should be an interesting few weeks, several weeks actually, until Mercury clears the retro shade and ends up, he'll end his retrograde in Libra. So he'll backtrack into Libra, but then guess what? He'll go forward. So we'll have another shot at Mercury in Scorpio later, all the way through November. Yay for us, right? So we're looking at the deep, we're looking at the undersides of things, we're looking for truths that have been buried, and we have a very strong magnifying glass or light on that particular part of our lives. So that's Mercury in Scorpio, those hidden puzzles, right? The crime novels, the whodunits are all up in our faces here for the next several weeks with Mercury in that particular part of the chart. And wherever Scorpio is in your chart is where Mercury may be digging up the dirt, right? Digging up the stuff that's stuck down in the deep that needs to come up and be released, right? Let go of. All right. So good morning to everybody that's showing up out here. Let's see. Good morning, Tati and Camilla and Amanda, Jennifer Peachy, Laura Wolfberg. Good to see you. Leslie, good morning to you. Ingrid, hello. Bonjour, she says. Amy Energy, good morning. And JLo, hello. And Leslie says, stay grounded all. Indeed. There's several big news items coming up for us astrologically for the week. So I think what I'll do is I'm going to give you the macro. We'll step back and we'll look at the whole of the week, and then we'll come in and we'll look more at the day to day and what kinds of things that we should be looking out for. So we've entered into today the time of the shadow period, right? We're in the shadow period for the Pleiadian Earth energy. We already knew that. We're in that until the 30th. So later this week, Wednesday this week. But we've also entered into the period of time where the sun begins moving through all of the spleen gates. And those spleen gates have a tendency to double as fear points or paralysis points in our lives. So we'll want to talk about each week what shadow is up in our faces and what it is that we need to be working on. And remember, Mercury's already in the shadow gates. He's in front of the sun at this point in time. And so he's already been digging into fear, kind of stirring up those things, bringing them up to the surface. And then the sun, of course, coming through with his very powerful light, his very powerful personality, looking again at all of these energies. And then Mercury backtracks through them all and then moves back forward through them all. And then Venus gets into the picture. And then later, Mars, sitting at the gate of shock, triggers more of our letting go of what's in the muck at the bottom of the barrel. And it's not always comfortable, right? These are definite fears that are entrenched. I was watching how that fear was moving through my own self over the weekend. And it wasn't fear like, I think my fear was more attached to Saturn, who turns direct today into this evening, late this evening, 8:45 my time, 11:45 for those of you on the East Coast. And if you're in Europe, that will be in the middle of tomorrow morning in the night while you're sleeping. And I thought, you know, that feeling of dread, the shoe on the other foot about to drop, that feeling came on very powerfully yesterday. And I went, I recognize these as Saturn feelings and Saturn thoughts. But those very feelings and thoughts can trigger fear, especially in a week where we begin to really move through that energy with the sun. So the new Human Design Week actually begins today. And that is with the sun at the gate 18, which is the gate of judgment and correction. And the earth is at the gate 17, which is the gate of opinions. So we'll take a look deeper into the meaning of what that is all about. Today is Venus trine Mars. It's a great day for dating or being romantic. Too bad it's a work day. And it's where the soft meets the hard, right? The soft, rounded energies of Venus, the more loving, generous, kind energies of Venus meeting up with the hard masculine edges of the warrior god Mars, but in a trine. So we have this nice balance of the feminine and the masculine moving through. We have romance meeting desire. So likely this is one of the best kinds of transits for dating and for romance. It's in action until Wednesday, pretty much. So for the next couple of days, pay a little extra attention to your loved ones. And then, like I said, later today, Saturn turns direct. We're going to go into that a little bit more here in just a few minutes. And as we look down through the week, the moon moves into the void. Well, no, I don't even want to go there yet. The week ahead, Tuesday, tomorrow, the sun already in that fear gate, right? The gate 18. And now Mars squaring Saturn on Tuesday, adding to the I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, I want to spin this in some kind of freaking positive way, but there's so little that I can say that's positive, because this is the energy of the old. This is the energy of the old patriarchy, the old conservative religious right, holding on for dear freaking life, creating a pathway through our politics that will be lasting for a very long period of time, just before we have new energy coming to us with the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction at zero Aquarius later in on the winter solstice. And the push then is for the new energy, for new paradigms, for ascending through the old and into the new. And yet what we're doing right now is entrenching the old. We're making sure that the old doesn't get moved on. And Mars in a square to Saturn brings that up to us in some very, very furious sort of ways, right? There's anger, there's constriction, and there's like a loss of hope. And I'm feeling all of that, but we have to remain hopeful. We have to remind ourselves through this that everything is happening in its right and perfect way. That's the hard part, right? Is that to step back, I wish I could just step back out of all of it and not even know that it's happening, not even know that there's this, you know, old energy that's trying to hold on and keep people down. And yet we are in those times. We are living in those times. So what do we do? Well, we have to be able to move forward, and we are the ones that are creating the reality. So we have to maintain our focus on what we desire out there. And unfortunately, this week is providing us this foray into the past and into our fear and into the shadow zones. So we have to be able to move through this week with as much of our own inner power and our inner light as we can possibly do that. Now, on Wednesday, the moon turns into the void, today in Pisces, moving into the void, the space between Pisces and Aries. And then on Thursday, we have a very nasty full moon. It is going to be an emotional, angry, constricted full moon as Saturn is engaged there. The Mars square Saturn is engaged. It is going to call upon all of our powers to be able to complete a cycle and to be able to see that there is some form of reason behind the madness that is in the world. But that particular full moon, whoa. It is one of the moons that I saw earlier that I was kind of a little bit afraid that it was going to be a crazy one. So we have a crazy, let's call it a crazy full moon on Thursday. Venus moves into Virgo on Friday, and we begin another human design week on Friday with the sun and earth again moving the sun into another gate on the spleen, fear. And then after we have Saturn turning direct today, we have Pluto turning direct on Sunday. So we are taking those major outer planets, moving them in a new direction, and hopefully putting an end to their reforming, restructuring, rebuilding craziness that has been our lives with them in Capricorn for about the last 2.5 years. Now, Pluto is certainly not done in Capricorn. He will be there until 2024. But both Jupiter and Saturn have finished their last retrograde cycle in the sign of Capricorn and are now moving to finish up the work that they began when each of them moved into the sign of Capricorn. So we're putting the finishing touches on the destruction, which probably is not done yet. We're putting the finishing touches on our own eye to what is sustainable. How do we become good stewards of the planet, of our resources, of our time, of our money? We are putting possibly a new spin out there on the financial system, because remember, Uranus is still in Taurus. We still have a lot of focus of that planet in our financial sector. And then on top of that, as we're moving out of this Capricorn energy, Saturn and Jupiter will both move into Aquarius and will begin to square Uranus in in Taurus. So it should be an interesting year. The transition may be really going more into the financial sector as we move into the beginning of the next year. But all of those seeds are being sown now with the last of the transits of these outer planets now moving direct, having moved direct, and making their last stand, as it were, of the energies in Capricorn. So what are you finishing up in your own life? That would be the question of the week. What are you finishing up? First, today, Saturn going direct. Tomorrow's Mars square Saturn. A square, remember, a challenge. Mars is in retrograde. So what's favored is our own going inward and looking at what needs to be rebuilt. How are we going to be able to survive these next several months? It's interesting because you're hearing and I'm seeing a lot of chatter out there about the winter and about how are we going to survive the flu season. So there was an article, it was actually kind of a comic, like a comic strip about how to prepare for the winter. And it was all about things like, you know, toilet paper and getting your flu shot, just, you know, kind of the joking kinds of things that, you know, can make this light. But indeed, it does mean for us as individuals, we are in that revisiting of our own roles in the world. Who are we here to be? And what is it that we see ahead of us that we need to move toward? So we are all in this individually as well as on a collective level. And then as we end the week with Pluto going direct, transformation then that has been happening in the inner planes begins to show up in the outer world. So transforming things, the landscape of our planet and our countries, our communities, our families, etc. So that's our week ahead. A difficult week. I wanted to be able to spin this as some light, you know, sort of fair, but it isn't going to be that way. But we don't have to, we know we've been through trying times. What can I say? This whole of 2020 has been one long trying time after another. So we already have the skills to do this. We know what we need to do, right? We know what we need to do. We have to stay out of the things that are not in our control. Keep focused on what you can do to move forward and doing what you need to do to build your own life so that your own little slice of Eden or heaven is assured. There you have it. Now today, as we move into the ending of our transit of the moon in Aquarius, we are preparing now 8:34 to leave the void and move into the moon's being in Pisces. Pisces energy, very creative and imaginative. So we have the imagination triggered. This is maybe our little light that we have for the week. The moon in Pisces, not only because it's imaginative, but it is also highly spiritual and it seeks inner happiness. It's looking for bliss and ecstasy and happiness and states of joy and psychic sensitivity triggered here as well. Mystical states, emotional sensitivity. So we're picking up on each other's emotions. We might be picking up on our family, our community. We might be picking up on the wider world. Looking at all of this from the point of view of spirit, however, because Pisces moon, very spiritual, looking at the energy of surrender and trust. Wow, right? Wow. I mean, those are the only things I'm clinging to right now. Surrender and trust. So when surrender and trust that this world is going the way that it has to in order for it to be renewed, even though I do not like the handwriting that I'm seeing on the wall. But I also know that there's a higher power guiding all of this. Surrender and trust. I'm back to surrender and trust. Spiritual awareness through the moon here in Pisces, intuitive, being able to channel truth coming in from the other side, truth coming in from being able to discern truth. Remember, the opposite sign of Pisces is Virgo, and Virgo is a sign in the earth, very practical, but also has the ability to be discerning, to cut through the BS, to get to the heart of something. So we have that ability even in the sort of murkiness of Neptune's rulership over Pisces. Spiritual healing, also a part of the moon in Pisces, meditation, yoga, other healing paths, angelic assistance, calling on the angels, being able to quiet the mind. I'm also going to share with you an event that is occurring this Friday, and it is an indigenous tribe in Colombia called the Mamos, who are calling together the earth and all of her life forms, especially her sentient life forms, to focus on the higher truths. And I'll be sharing that information here on the on my Facebook page after the broadcast this morning. I'll likely even email that out. So if we can all join in, I want to say it's at 4 o'clock West Coast time, 7 p.m. East Coast time. And it is an entire program of things that are happening for us to focus our thoughts on and to meditate on what our path forward can be. Unconditional love is also a part of the Pisces experience, where forgiveness, tolerance, acceptance, compassion, oneness, and unity, all of these energies come together in the sign of Pisces. Non-judgment, interesting, in a week where the sun is sitting at the gate of judgment, that we start out the week with non-judgmental thinking. We have to watch out for several things, of course, because any sign presents us with both the high side and the lower side. The victimhood energies are big during Pisces. Deception and addictions that are coming up to the surface. Disappointment, defeatist attitudes. I can feel it. I can feel it in me. I can feel like it's just, you know, giving up this whole idea of a world going the direction that we want it to go in. And we have to be aware that that is a possibility for us during this week, that we'll go into that negative sidebar of noise. In the body, it is our lymph system, which is our gateway to our immune system. Poisoning and toxicity have been also something that we could look for here in the body. And the feet as well. Interesting, because I was pretty sick most of the day yesterday, and I felt like I had been, not poisoned necessarily, that I had eaten something, or perhaps I wasn't even drinking this weekend, so I couldn't quite tell you what it is that I had been doing, but I was definitely not feeling well, and later in the evening, neither was Terry, so maybe we ate something, I don't know. Poisoning, toxicity though, so allowing your body to shed anything that is not beneficial to it, taking a look at what are you bringing in, both on an energetic level as well as food and drink, so that you are not becoming more toxic, but maybe releasing toxins, gently releasing toxins. Let's put it that way. All right, I'm going to head over here and see how everybody else is feeling out there. Courtney, good morning. And J-Lo says hello to Andy girl. Amanda Fabella, good morning. Good to see you out there. And oh gosh, somehow my thing, let it out. We can learn from a tree. Okay, good. Good morning, Ursula. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel. Good morning, Sylvester, Augustina, and Loanne. It's great to see you. And okay, Leslie, I love your comment. J-Lo, the leaves fall every season and come back strong and beautiful the next season. That's pretty cool. That's great, J-Lo. Thank you for that reminder. Sylvester says it was 11-11 new beginnings. J-Lo, breathe through it all. Yes, indeed. J-Lo says, I will be meditating and asking my ancestors for guidance along with the universe and all whom are welcome to help me get through it all. So, you know, another part of what comes up for me, you guys, and I don't know why it is, I feel like I can share all of my dirty little secrets with you guys, but I do, all my little emotional ups and downs, is that literally I feel like I want to run away. I just want to run away to a monastery, maybe to a convent, not a Catholic convent for certain, but someplace where I can just not be a part of this crazy fucking world, right? Just so tired of all of the craziness at times that, you know, just going away. But I don't feel like that's actually my path in this lifetime. I do have the hermit part of my energy, but that's really just a time for me to recharge my own batteries. my goal here on the planet, I'm thinking even my role here on the planet was as a role model, which means I have to be here and I have to be present in every moment. But that doesn't mean that I don't experience the same ups and downs that everyone else is feeling, or that sometimes you just want to get away from it all, right? You just want to go hide. I wouldn't be hiding even. I would be in total meditation or prayer, trying to field a new world, right? Build a new world. And that's our high side. That's our potential. And anyway, so thank you, J-Lo. She says, please take a moment to hit the thumbs up and to share the video with your friends, with your people that are in your networks, and to also please subscribe. And J-Lo says, I'm actually going shopping. What? What are you doing? Going shopping to prepare. For that, I'm assuming for the winter, as my kids do get sick also, and I definitely don't want to rush and have none if this pandemic comes again. I kind of feel like, honestly, I kind of feel like the pandemic is on its way out. I think there might be another little bump up as winter comes, but I'm not sure that that's something that we really need to worry about too much more. The fear part of me definitely feels like there's something still there, but as I stand back and look back, I'm like, yeah, no. So I feel like prepare, but maybe we're preparing for something else, not just the pandemic. Pauline says, not able to tune in Sunday, LARCMA session, hope it's recorded and posted. It is recorded and it is posted, but I believe that after that point in time, you have to pay for it, Pauline. I'm not sure, and I wasn't able to do it yesterday either. So I feel kind of bad about that, but hopefully maybe people who did tune in can share with us. My nephew was here. My husband is marrying his nephew this coming Saturday. So they were here yesterday to put the finishing touches on the ceremony. And so we weren't able to tune in. Leilani says, hey, y'all. That sounds so Texan. J-Lo, yes, you do. Getting prepared. And you're most welcome. And Jackie, good morning to you, Jackie Piccola. And Ursula says, yes, we learn from your open-hearted sharing. Yes, the conundrum, the hermit role model, definitely. Definitely the conundrum, especially when you really want to just hide away, right? When you just want to not listen to all this noise and you don't want to see, you see the handwriting. I think the fear that I have is that I see this handwriting on the wall of how we are circling the drain to a very much more plutocracy, where all of this conservative edge that's happening on the planet, while some of you out there I know believe that it's the way for us to go, don't really understand that it also leads us to where the people with money have more of the power. So we're solidifying the hold of the conservative on the planet. So that is amassing power in the hands of fewer and fewer people. And those people are the ones that are then setting policy. They're the ones that are setting us up for the future with very little checks and balances. I mean, if you think about how all of the checks and balances in our own country, right, the United States, the checks and balances between the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branches being eroded. And what does that mean for our wider world? Right now, it looks pretty damn dismal. But I know there's got to be a higher purpose there. And I think that's where I'm holding on to, surrendering and trusting that there is a purpose to all of this seeming coalescing of power in the fewer and fewer hands on the planet. So we'll see, right? We'll see. And Brandon, good morning. I think the flu is more dangerous than COVID. CDC says that too. Hard to say, Brandon. I don't even want to go into that, because any time that we have a virus that invades the body, if it has been bioengineered, it can be bioengineered in such a way that it can get past our inborn immune systems. So that's another piece of the puzzle that's out there that nobody knows for certain. Did this spontaneously arise, or was it a manufactured kind of thing? And that's not clear in the astrology either. So we don't know. And again, what we need to focus on is what makes us healthy, what supports us in being healthy, whether it's the flu or COVID or some other creepy little virus germ that comes along, right? Our bodies are specifically designed to overcome those challenges. And then that means the thing, and I'm getting chills as I'm thinking about that. Being able to heal is also a part of how it is we use our minds, right? Using our spirituality, all of our mental and emotional and our physical abilities to bounce our immune system up, right? So keeping ourselves healthy, taking in good water, good foods, watching what it is that you're focusing on, and what kinds of media are you watching, and how are the social medias out there and the networks that we tune into, how are they creating more noise? So yeah, who knows whether it's the flu, who knows whether it's COVID, it really doesn't matter. What matters is how we rise to that occasion. And what do we do about it? Do we hide our heads in the sand, which is what a lot of people did, and pretend that it isn't there and pretend it's gonna go away. It's gonna go away soon. And, or do we actually take steps to protect ourselves, to protect the people around us? Those are the questions. Camilla says, OMG, it's good to hear you saying that. I feel relieved to know I'm not the only person who wants to run away. No. Definitely, you know, got into that, you know, somehow over the weekend and just felt like, wow, what if I just sat in silence, right? What if I just disappeared into the silence and into you know, just anchoring energy of love and light on the planet rather than talking about it or anyway, not to be right. I actually got out of bed this morning and got on air here to be with you guys, because sharing this kind of thing is, you know, on one hand, it's real, it's transparent. And that's the thing we've been missing on this planet all along, is the realness, right? Where is the realness? Where is the fact that, you know, we're all feeling these feelings and that we're all in this together? So we need to do that at times. Ingrid, is it okay to purchase fitness equipment now in spite of the Mercury and Mars retrogrades? I don't know what fitness equipment would have to do with any of that, Ingrid. And I saw your email. I was not feeling well enough yesterday to address that. I can't even imagine, unless it's like some $5,000-$10,000 piece of equipment, why you would worry about it, especially if it's something that you are in response to as a manifesting generator. It's in your outer world and the opportunity came up for you to do that. Who cares if Mercury or Mars is in retrograde? Mars has to do with action and taking steps on something new in terms of building a business or changing jobs or that kind of thing. Mercury has to do with transportation and with contracts and agreements and that type of thing. And Mercury is not retrograde yet. Mercury's in the shadow. So you should be clear. Should be clear there. You should be cleared with Mars. And especially if your own inner authority has been satisfied, which was the emotional authority, how do you feel? Does it feel right? Does it feel good? Does it make you happy? And the question for you as a manifesting generator is, does it make me happy? Does this feel good? Does this feel right? Is this true for me, right? All yes and no, by the way, questions. So if you can say yes to all of that, then do it, right? Do it. And it doesn't matter what else is going on. I mean, many times, you know, people have had to buy cars or even sell property in the midst of a Mercury retrograde. We can't let the planets rule what we do, more like they're symbols of how it is that we go about doing what we do. So we know if a planet is retrograde, it slows things down, that it turns things inward. So maybe we should look over the contracts another couple of times. We should check everything and recheck just to be more cautious. But I don't think it is that we have to stop ourselves from doing things that were already in process or but in a Mercury retrograde, I wouldn't suddenly decide to buy a new car unless I absolutely had to for whatever reason. Right? Maybe your car breaks down during Mercury retrograde. What are you supposed to do? Wait until the retrograde's done to get a new form of transportation? Well, that's possible. But again, remember, we all have our own inner authority. Those planets are just symbols of as above, so below. If a planet is retrograde above us, then we need to know that down here on the planet, we need to be a little slower in our approach to everything and maybe do a little more inward search on everything before we attempt to do it in the outer world. So hopefully that helps. J-Lo, I just bought regular the first time. Everyone was like, girl, get some more. But I trusted that all was good. And I'm thankful it was pretty good. I'm not sure what you're talking about there. But okay, it's good. Ursula, Pia and the Pleiadians would encourage you to anchor in. Keep singing. I love that. Jennifer, I agree with zero media and take care of our bodies and immune systems. All that we can control. And isn't it amazing how much we really can control in our lives? Right, we can control how much of the media we listen to. We can control how much of the noise that we hear from the right, from the left, from above, from below. We can just sit and be in meditation and entertain the quiet. That's our power. And Ingrid, you're welcome. And go get it, girl. Mercury retrogrades mess with electronics. Yes, indeed. Right? My computer's already showing me some issues. So I get to be prepared, right? I'm making sure I have my little backup, whatever you call this thing, an external hard drive. I learned my lesson last year when my computer went down that I back everything up now. So you just do things that protect you a little bit, right? Not out of fear that things bad are going to happen, but out of an abundance of caution, right? Now, one thing I would be careful with, Ingrid, that would maybe pertain to you with the getting of new physical equipment, is that Mars is retrograde and Mars represents the physical body. So if you do get new, I think it was a rowing machine, if I remember correctly, make sure it's set up correctly. Make sure you're following the directions, and then don't by all means go in there and start overdoing it physically, because that's the challenge with Mars retrograde, that we can feel good physically and we go out there and we overdo it. So, you know, rowing, you know, expect maybe some sore muscles in the beginning. Be willing to stop at a reasonable amount of time of exercise so that you don't overdo that. That would be my one caution for you with that. Ursula, I don't remember details from yesterday's call with the Pleiadians. Came in late, questions and answers, but I felt their transmission, and there were some scary things talked about, exactly as you describe. It's hard not to talk about the scary things, isn't it? And I think when we expose it to the light, when we're able to talk about what it is that we fear, that then it's not so scary anymore. It's not so scary. And maybe that's the lesson for us all to learn during the transits of the Sun, Mercury, Venus, through all of the gates of fear on the spleen, is to shine the light into those dark places. And then it isn't so, it can't haunt you if you've turned and you've looked at it and you can start to see what it's all about. And I did have that thought over the weekend as well, is, you know, saying out loud, what are you afraid of? Right? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid is going to happen in the outer world if the conservatives gain control? And if the conservatives then create a field that is taking away our rights and creating a more of a plutocracy, how is that going to affect me personally? How is that going to if all the decisions that are going to be made in the Supreme Court or in the legislature are going to have to do with supporting those people who have money, then what's the worst that's going to happen to me? I had to look at it in some of those terms, and I'm not clear of that yet. I am definitely not clear of that. The other thought I had is, what if this country goes the way of some of the more conservative leaning Muslim countries? Not that we're going Muslim, but that we're going all the way Christian, right? And how dare you have an abortion? How dare you speak against God? How dare you have entertain a different religion. How dare you come on air and talk about astrology, the work of the devil, right? These are stupid things that are going through my mind as our country prepares to go to an election and to elect another person to the Supreme Court who likely will be conservative, setting the stage for a very conservative, money-oriented plutocracy for a very long time. What's the worst that can happen, right? What is the worst that can happen? And it's not only the politics of it, how does it affect all of us through healthcare, right? There's already the buzz out there about undoing the healthcare system here in this country. What does that mean? Especially for those of us who are already getting to the point, you know, older, where at some point in the next 5 to 10 years, my husband's likely going to retire and we'll be on that stupid Medicare system. Aye. So you can see how one thing leads to another and how that the fear looking at those kinds of things can be uncomfortable. Trust me when I say it's totally uncomfortable, but can also start to reduce the fear around those things. So there you go. They did say it was time for us all to rise up together, I guess, as the antidote indeed. So there we have that. The comments are running behind, I think, too. Yeah, Ursula, it's a call to gather as a group and activate. We put the number, the dark. I'm not sure what that means, but call in an animal card for the week. I think we definitely need one. Handmaid's Tale. I never saw that. I've avoided that. My daughter keeps telling me, Mom, you should watch that. You'd like that. It is a scary time. The Handmaid's Tale is the worst fear. I try every day not to think of that. Holy cow. I'm not watching that show, but I am going to draw us an animal card. And you know what? No, I'm going to draw us two cards. I'm going to draw us a galactic card. Because remember, we're on the Earth going through things that other star systems have already been through on an evolutionary scale. So where did my animal cards go? Here we go. Animals. We might even pull a Mayan card. Let's take a look at this galactic cards first. And then, my Asa. I didn't see her out there today. I chatted with her this morning, so I know she's alive and well. Okay, we have a pretty good card there. It is called the Pioneering Spirit, card number 11. I like that number. And it's Lyra of the Past. Hold on, I got to go back to Zoom. Lyra, the Past. Pioneering spirit. Let's take this in and see what wisdom there is for us. And whoa, opened right up to it. All right. The early beginnings of the Lyran civilization were filled with excitement about exploring the universe. They expanded their colonies rapidly and the civilization grew quickly. These were the first forefathers of human heritage. Ooh. Having a connection to this early Lyran time, you also have a connection to this pioneering spirit. The spirit compels you to explore both the physical and the metaphysical worlds. While this is a healthy pursuit, the lessons of the Lyrans have shown us that this desire for exploration must also be balanced with daily life. It asks that your explorations be a way to embrace physical life, not escape from it. Commentary. The text for this card pretty much says it all. It refers to the beginnings of the first star family directly related to our development on Earth, the Lyrans. It particularly refers to the first era of their development when they were a young species and had many lessons to learn. The Lyrans are our oldest forefathers. In this past era, they were very externally focused in reality and not very interested in spiritual development. In some ways, they were young and immature, as most young species are. The qualities of young civilizations can be a negative or positive, depending on how those qualities are expressed. A pioneering spirit can be a wonderful quality when used with responsibility and integrity. It can also be a negative quality when used immaturely, with ignorance, or without integrity. Thus, it becomes important to look at the rest of the card, read it to see how to interpret it, and follow your intuition. Usually, this card comes up for people who have had lives in Lyra during this era and are here now to apply those lessons. Perhaps you are being asked to take risks and become a spiritual pioneer in your life a little bit more. Or perhaps the pioneering aspect of your nature needs to be balanced with responsibilities in your life on Earth as a human. Open yourself to further guidance from the message of this card and see where this insight takes you. No comment. Let's get an animal. Let's do an animal card. I leave that for you guys to interpret. Most of the time, I feel like I'm pretty balanced in that way. I think I actually did have lifetimes I spent in Lyra. Or concurrently in Lyra. Woohoo! Okay. Too funny. Lizard. Number 38, which is an 11. Dream the world into being. Dream the world into being. We had this card. I think it was our animal card to end the week before. 38. Okay. When was the last time you basked in the sun and allowed yourself to daydream, to imagine what might be and who you might become? Lizard spirit appears when you are called to let your imagination flow and dream something new. Inspiration is available to you now if you are willing to slow down and let your eyes close a little, allowing ideas to dance in your head. What might come into being if you were to pursue your dream? How might you grow and expand if you allowed yourself to dare to believe in the impossible? Making it possible first in your dreaming mind and then in the world as you co-create with spirit. Give in to the power of imagination and soon your dream will become clearer. The steps will reveal themselves and what was ephemeral will begin to coalesce into form. Dream it and be it. Spirit asks you to dare to dream big. Wow. Well, I think that's a great card. They were actually both cards that were good, but it's interesting that they were both 11s, right? Shining the light. Shining the light. Okay, so we've got our cards out of the way. Let's take a look at the graphic for our upcoming human design, our human design week that's dawning on us today. And here we go. We have week 6, objective and collective correction. Interesting way to put that. From September 27th through October 2nd. Can you guys even believe we're heading into October this week? It's amazing. I thought we just started September. The sun will be at the gate 18 in human design. That is called the gate of correction. It is very low down on the spleen. And are you guys seeing my screen? Why am I getting an orange thing here? My screen is shared. Okay. So human design gate 18 is on, it's actually a gate on the spleen center. It is a gate that we think of as judgment, as correction. It is sitting opposite of the gate 58 on the root center. And the gate 58 on the root center is called joy or bliss or vitality. It's an energy of where correction joins up to put things back in alignment, back in right alignment, let's say. So the gate 18, the energy itself can be an eye to what needs to be done to bring things back into an alignment. But unfortunately, it sits so far away from the throat center, and we tend to want to use this as constructive criticism of either ourselves or others, but it needs to be entered into With an invitation, right? You cannot just go up to someone and say, you know, if you wore a different color, that would work better on you, right? You cannot do that. But you can say, you can sit and wait for someone to say, what do you think of this color on me? And then you can open up and you can say something. So more than that, the gate 18 seeks perfection. It feels very Virgo, doesn't it? Perfection and correction and judgment. And perfection seeking here is likely what the problem is, right? It fails to see the perfection in the moment, right? It sees that in some time in the future, I will be more perfect. My work of art will be more perfect. My book will be more perfect, or the timing will be more perfect. And so your tendency is to want to live in that future time when perfection shall happen, and you fail to see the perfection in this very moment, right? So it's a gift of being critically aware of what can lead you to more perfection, to lead you to more joy, which is what is at the other side. But it has to also start by recognizing in the moment what is perfect. Now, the fear is that it's never going to happen, right? It's never going to be perfect, that I have to keep judging myself harshly. I keep judging others harshly. I'm projecting things outward away from me to others. I'm even giving my authority away to others. And that is something that we need to be really careful of, being aware of in our daily life. In the Gene Keys, we see this as the shadow of judgment, right? Judgment. And judgment meaning what are you judging? Who are you judging? And why are you judging? And then the gift side is integrity, staying perfect in your skin, right? Everything is perfect as it is right now in this moment. And of course, the city is perfection. Seeing that everything is right and perfect, just I need the stone with me today. I forgot what these are. Londa, if you're out there, you have to remind me what these little blue stones are, but I just need them. So perfection and correction go together here, but correction is done with an invitation if you're taking it and moving it outward, and then on your own self, seeing your own self in perfection in the moment, because it can't be anything but that, right? Now, the Earth, of course, brings up the challenge to the Sun. The Earth at the gate 17 is in the gate of opinions. It's on the Ajna heading down toward the throat center. It is a part of the scientific method as it is, and it is the hypothesis that is formed, the idea that is formed, but there's no facts yet. The facts are at the gate 62, which is the aside it would connect to, because we haven't proven anything yet. So opinions are just opinions until there are facts that support it, that make it true. And even then, that's a slippery slope, right? Because truth, as we've all seen it, is very moldable by the person that is trying to manipulate it. So we have information manipulated, right? We have even hypotheses that are manipulated, so opinions. Structuring an answer based on logic and facts, not opinion. So it is one of the three ways of knowing in human design. So logic is one third of the way, and logic is really about the recognition of a pattern and the ability from that pattern to be able to predict a future or predict an outcome. So we can see built based on years past that this is the year this particular flu will be out there, and this is the reason why we have a shot or a vaccine for that particular strain, because we're predicting. It doesn't mean that we're correct, right? The facts have not been borne out yet, but we start from a pattern and we predict the outcome based on that. And that's the logic and the factual way, one third of who you are. The other third of who you are is intuitive, instinctual, right? Reacts in the moment to a fear stimulus. And that fear stimulus has kept us alive, right? Fight, flight, freeze. Remember all of those have kept us alive and moving forward in as a species. So again, that is instinctual. It is intuitive. It knows what to do in the moment based on an inner voice that says run, that says buy, that says sell, that says whatever it says. Then the third way of knowing is just pure knowing. I don't know how I know what I know, I just know, right? That is also very valid. So the gate of opinions tells us a lot that we don't have all of the answers, right? We just can't have all the answers because we cannot see all the facts. We do not see how the facts and the intuition and the knowing blend together to create our reality. So it's the shadow of opinion. In the gift, it is farsightedness, right? Being able to see down the line. And in its highest, it's omniscience, right? The ability to see all from the highest perspective, right? That has to come from our God-like self. It has to come from spirit. It has to come from a viewpoint outside of the body, because the body is based on instinct and is also not always willing to see the bigger picture, right? To see, hear the bigger truths, because we're too busy, you know, fitting into the molds of our human existence. All right, so that part, it makes this an interesting week, watching out for fear and its effects on us, and being able to face those fears right on, right? Knowing that everything is perfect in the moment, it can't be anything but. And all right, questions. Oh, I saw Asa popping up here. Hello, Asa. JLo is asking if her north node is on the same line as the transiting nodes. Does that put more emphasis on her chart sector? So I'm thinking what you mean is that the line that the north nodes are in right now matches the line that is where your own north node is in. Is that what you're saying, JLo? And if so, it does bring up matching pictures, but other than that, nothing else of real profoundness. But know that there may be a theme that's running through everything right now in the outer world that somehow matches what you're also going through on your own inner world, right? So, but being astute enough to see that's pretty cool, that you know that about yourself and that you know that that's happening. So there you go. I hope that answers that for you. And Ursula, OMG, the 11 and the 11 showing up, angels showing us with a portal of support. 11-11, I love it. Jennifer, yes, Puffing Pixie, exactly my thoughts. I don't want to put that show in my thoughts. I don't know what thoughts we're talking about here. I'm not watching that show. Oh, The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, or Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, I'm not even sure what that show is about. I honestly don't want to know because I'm already strung out, as it were. I don't need to be more strung out. What I need is, like, I don't know, some really feel-good show. There was a really good movie I watched this weekend, and it's on Netflix, and it's called Enola Holmes. And it is about Sherlock Holmes' little sister. And I just thought it was a great movie. It was a great, like, get out of your own way, get out of your own, like, you know, get over to something else. And the little girl, or the young woman that plays the role of Enola, which, by the way, is alone spelled backwards, is the girl from Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown, I think is her name, Millie Bobby Brown, something like that. And she does such a great job in that movie. So if you want a feel-good movie to lift your spirits, Enola Holmes. Okay, anyway. Amy, yes, it's scary. Yeah, oh, wait, that was an old one. I read that one. Perfect cards for today. There we go. All right, guys. Well, I'm sorry I'm not the Pollyanna that I usually am today. It's hard to be that when you're facing down, you know, a week, a time period that's so crazy. But again, reminding you and me, reminding us all that we're co-creators here, and that what it is that we are focusing on is what we are manifesting. Even if the outer world isn't going to pile up and be exactly what we thought it would be, we still have choice. And what we focus on, what we buy, who we vote for, where we go, what we do, how we do what we do. All of those choices are ours. So make wise choices, I guess, right? And use your mind wisely. Focus on what you want, not what you don't want. That's it for me today. See you all tomorrow. Bye for now.